Yeah, I'm the ace of bass.
Yeah. Right, now, I know you've got a new sound system, but shut up a minute while I do the intro.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, my name is Robin Tate. This is the Overseas Connection podcast. You'll find me on Twitter at Bongo the Sane and, well, just about everywhere else at Bongo the Sane as well. So, yeah, it's a gaming podcast, and generally it's more mature people that listen to this. Then again, who? Damn me, immature young people listen to podcasts?
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, yes, so like we talk about games, we talk about life and lots of different stuff, and... tonight I have two wonderful people with me. I've got Mark with his tweaky headphones on. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
And welcome him back to the podcast. We have Richard Webster. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Richie's back.
Yeah. So after the last debacle, Mark, of the time I hosted here, I had enough and I went out and bought the same mixing desk as you and a new microphone. My hardly Dan is in the chat right now and he tells me it all sounds a little bit weird.
All
so
right.
If it sounds a bit weird, well, we'll get it tuned in because, yeah, well, you know, new things. So let me know in the chat, and we can adjust it live if it's a wee bit out and if I'm too bassy or too tweaky or whatever it may be. Anyway, so we go out live every single Sunday at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, and 4 p.m. in the East Coast of America, and you'll get us on twitch.tv/OC podcast and mixer.com/OC podcast and on YouTube, of course, as well. And on those things, I mean, there's some new people there in Twitch. A guy called Do Not Joha.
I think it's Donut.
Donut Joha, Desert Dan 42. And on Podbean, we had Reedy Fan 1978. And it's PBG.
That's just random numbers. I think that's a bot because it's BBG 7F5 ECBT. Unless they're sort of like doing code in hexadecimal.
It's not a very clever bot if it is a bot.
No.
Look, so those places, thank you very much for following us as well. So that's great. So tonight we're going to have a wee chat about what we've been up to because it's been a big couple of weeks. Greg isn't here. He was away in Florida on a little holiday and he just got back late last night. And well, I'm sure he'll tell us all about his
especially the flight home.
the Mile Shed Club. it's something I'll talk about when he gets back on it again. And what else do we want to talk about? Oh, yeah, some birthdays. We have some birthdays. Greg DeLacy, of course. He was 69.
He was 69 yesterday. Yeah.
Mark, Greg DeLacy was 69 years old yesterday. You wouldn't think he didn't look much over 55, but he actually is 69. But that's like, you know, California, plastic surgery and all that. So happy birthday, old fella.
Well, I took that from his PlayStation game attack because it says Murphy's Law 1969. So he's 69, isn't he?
Not quite. He's a young fella, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Dorian Parsnip knows. We'll talk a wee bit more about him later. Dorian Ellis, his birthday is on the 4th of October. He's definitely 69.
Yeah.
James Assassin's Greed, so it's James Williams. His birthday is on the 6th of October.
He'll be 19.
My
nephew. Yep.
Happy birthday, James. And an old blast from the past, Johnny Fartpants, one of the funniest men on the Tinder. Gary Symington, he has a birthday today as well. So if you look up Johnny, if you remember Johnny, he's raising some money for Alzheimer's, I believe it is, in lieu of birthday presents, which usually pile up around his house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, happy birthday, guys.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yeah! right. Okay. So, Rich, we'll have to start with you first. You've been away for a while and you're doing stuff. So what have you been up to?
I joined the Flying Graysons. Legion.
The what? What did you join?
I joined the Flying Graysons.
What is that? They're like in the circus, aren't they? Like trapeze artists?
Yeah, but we had a gig in Gotham, right? Get this. My parents died. Uh-huh. And I became Robin.
Oh, you became me.
I became you, but with really, really camp tights on.
Red and green, by any chance.
What is wrong with tights?
There's nothing wrong with them. I'm just putting it out there.
I said, look, do I look gay in these? Nobody said they did, you know.
I'm talking about the Flying Graysons because I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight. That's what I've been playing, really.
Good, well, we'll get to that. But life, what have you been doing in life, Richard?
Oh, life.
There looks very blank. Are you devoid of ideas in your life?
It's not very blank. I've got I'll go this way. I've got my gaming pile of collection there.
Yes.
And I've got my guitar on this side.
Cool.
So I've really been, you know, flipping between those two, really.
And life's treating you well, because we haven't spoken in a long time. So
No, well, not in real life. Well, not in the fake life, but in the real life. Yeah. We went to that place, didn't we?
Yeah, Manchester.
In Manchester. I didn't tell anybody this, right? Mm-hmm. I only told Mike Chin. I'm going to Google it so that I don't make the mistake of getting the story wrong. But a few weeks after we went to meet Duke Scath from the Veteran Gamers at the restaurant known as Duke 92,
mm-hmm.
there was an outbreak of hepatitis A from Duke's 92 restaurant.
Did he bring it from America? Did he?
I don't know where it started, but I can tell you how it's transferred.
How's it transferred?
It's from poo.
Good job we didn't shit on anyone, innit?
From the poo. So someone in that restaurant
has been to the toilet and then handled food.
Or something, So there's been a couple of hepatitis A a few weeks after we went. So if Duke had been, you know, a couple of weeks later, I don't know, that's like a, you know.
Yeah. And that restaurant has a really good reputation. I mean, I've said a few people that's where I was and they knew it and they have a good time there. So
yeah, well, there was like actresses and stuff, wasn't there? And, you know, people with nice clothes.
Well, it's amazing how many people don't wash their hands.
I know. But yeah, a few weeks after we went, some dirty bastards went in. I think we lowered the standards. I think people from outside thought, do you know what, if they're going in, anyone can go in. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, shit storm.
So yeah, what I've been doing, I'm going to Mallorca tomorrow, holiday.
Oh, class. Yeah, brilliant. And where are you going to stay in Mallorca?
I love Mallorca.
Caldor.
Caldor, yeah.
Caldor, yeah, Caldor. That's where we're going.
Yeah, it's shit.
it's me pain, you know. Well, it's me pain.
Yeah, it's lovely. I love Mallorca. Really, really good.
Last time we went on the East Coast. Last time we went, which is Calada, Mallorca. That was nice. Really nice.
Mm. I've never been, and we've got air conditioning and Wi-Fi.
Okay. There's a place there called Porta Pelenza,
yeah.
It's my favourite spot we stay.
We've stayed in Alcudia, which is right over top.
And there's little restaurants right on the beach and a hotel right on the beach. Yeah. Literally, the sea is lapping the front door of the place.
Yeah.
We like that. It's very nice. Good. Well, have a good time. What time is your flight?
Something like 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow evening. Oh, I thought you were going to say in the morning.
No, something like that. It's like an early evening flight tomorrow, which is nice.
How long are you going for?
We'll be back on Friday.
Mm.
Just in time for Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
So what do you bring with you gaming-wise? Do you bring anything with you?
Yeah, I always take my 3DS. That's my go-to system for on the go. Pokemon or Mario or like retro games. So like I've got like the old Zeldas and the old Marios on there, you know, on the virtual console.
Yeah.
So,
I don't have it out with me here, but I picked up a little thing at EGX, and we'll get into that now. And it's a little handheld console. It's about the size of an iPhone, and it's a little emulator, dodgy little thing. Okay.
Yeah.
But it has NES, SNES, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Neo Geo. It's just there's 1,500 pre-installed ROMs in this thing. Yeah. All the Marios, all the Donkey Kongs. Just everything you can think of from that Nintendo thing. And I've been playing around with it. It's really, really good. It's really cool. It has an output to TV if you want it as well. But it's just tiny. It's just a tiny wee beast. I'm chuffed with it.
I wonder if you can buy them, like, mail order.
There was a nice box and all with it. I'll get you the details. Yeah, it's a good little thing.
Send me the details, but don't tell Nintendo.
Okay, no.
They might shut our podcast down.
Of course, do not agree with this at all.
Oh, no, of course. You know, always follow the law, unless no one's watching. And then, you know, always follow the law, you know.
So, Rich, as you know, a lot of us were at EGX, which was last weekend. I apologize if I'm feeling a bit or coming across a bit flat, because I have not been able to shake the nerd flu. I feel rotten right now. I felt rotten all week. I felt rotten Saturday, Sunday. I don't feel like sick, but I've got the cold and I'm hot and bothered and I can't be arsed. And Judith said, "You're not going out to do that there rock podcast tonight, are you? Because you're a grumpy old bugger." yes, get away from you. Anyway. Mark was at EGX, I was at EGX, lots of us were at EGX. We had a great old time, and you mentioned Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I don't think any of us played Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
No, the queue was humongous. The queue was as long, if not longer, than The Division 2. And because they're both 18-plus games, they were all fenced off, boxed off, so you couldn't even see it. I was fortunate that, because I was in the queue for The Division 2, I got to see it. So I got some good sort of like eyes on action of it. And it looks like Assassin's Creed Origins a lot, but with more Greek clothing. It looked very similar, but I've heard a lot of good things. I've heard the RPG's been ramped up on it, and it's one I'm definitely want to get up. So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go near it because it's more Assassin's Creed. I know you love it.
Rich, I love Assassin's Creed. Yeah.
Because I've still to play the last one.
See, I've just been watching the E3 walkthrough demo of it again, and just the woman that you play as, Cassandra, that scene of her with like her Spartan-y outfit with the brightest blue water you've ever seen, and the white buildings of Mykonos or Mykonos, whatever. It just that scene. I just want to play it. Greek mythology, I think, is where I started my love for history because of. Jason and the Argonauts back in the day. What a film.
Fencing.
What a film.
That was the one with the skeletons.
Yeah. And Medusa. And there is actually a side mission to take on Medusa. I have seen the video evidence. It is true. Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, they went a bit like... I don't want to say they did Gods in Origins because I haven't finished it yet, but they've done like, a little bit of mysticism in that.
Yeah,
but I hear that in Odyssey they are going like full... Oh, yeah, it's mythology
full,
as well.
Full Greek mythology, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I don't want to go too depth about EGX. I want to just sort of wrap it up there. So Assassin's Creed's coming soon enough. Other stuff that I didn't play, but I know you went into, Mark, was Division 2.
Yeah, very much like Division 1. Very, very much like it. Not much difference. There's a few extra abilities, power-ups and stuff.
Was it mostly in the daytime?
This was in the daytime, yeah. Obviously, a new setting. It's in Washington, D.C., so the surroundings and the area did look different. It was a different feel to it, but the enemies were still bullet sponges. Similar AI. But it's good. I loved Division 1. Yeah. Played the shit out of it, so, yeah.
Did you get to play Hitman 2? No. So I did, and it's slick and it's cool.
Yeah, it looks good.
I mean, you got a 15-minute demo. You didn't. 15 minutes isn't long enough with Hitman because you have to learn all the systems and all the bits and pieces. But it really does look slick, and that'll be nice for that little development house. There was the Dreams thing as well. There, we were talking about the big sort of games here as well. The Dreams stuff, which was a PlayStation world building, game building, like game construction kit.
Yeah.
Which seemed to go down well with a few of us, like Mike Chin and a few of the other guys really liked Dreams, which is quite surprising. And then Metro Exodus, which is another fantastic Metro game. This time, the oddity about it is, where before Metro was all quite dark and dank and inside and dark in tunnels and dark wrecked cities, this, a lot of this seems to be the level we were at was sort of outside in wood and forest, and it really could have been, it could have been Far Cry, it could have been Tomb Raider, yeah. You know, it was, it's odd.
The big change was no air filters, no breathing apparatus.
That we know of.
Yeah, there might be areas where you might need it. So
I remember some of the E3 stuff, seeing their filters of them coming out from underground. So, yeah, it was a little snapshot of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it looks gorgeous. It does look good. It does have a certain style to it, and it is not slower, more treacly into control. I mean, it's not twitchy, but the Metro stories are the thing. So as long as the story is good and it looks good, great stuff.
And then it's an RTX title as well, isn't it? It's going to have the ray tracing, lighting.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's another one of them.
Yeah, well, the gameplay that we played was it was okay. It didn't blow me away. But again, I can set all that aside because we never played Metro for the look of it. It looked okay. But it was the story and stuff of it was all kind of cool. And then the other little small stuff, you know, like Catastronauts, we'll get to that in a second. Beyond Blue, we've talked about this in the podcast before. So there was lots of little gems in there as well. So we had a good time on the show floor, but I think the fun of it, Mark, was you being at the show with Jay,
yeah,
having a good day there.
Meeting everybody and stuff.
Meeting everybody.
Getting together and meeting Colm, my easy difficult buddy, yeah.
And then Friday night was, we went out for burritos. Now, last year it was all, it was rough and ready. And we had a wee room to ourselves and we went to this restaurant, and Las Laguanas. It was good. The food was good. The drinks were coming a wee bit slower than they should have been. I had far too many margaritas. I had far too many mojitos. But it was good. But it was a big, big, rich, a big, 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 long, long table. And there was about 25 of us at it. Yeah, well, I did pull my switch out, and there was a few came out, but it was too noisy and too loud. But I think everybody around the table had good fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't stiff. It wasn't like a flippin' Mother's Union. Everybody was polite.
It was hard to mingle, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, but and then we went back to my hotel for a while, and they all took turns at me. But there was people there, like Dave Smurf, for the first time ever, and his better half came along, and fair play to her for coming along to a big group of nerds, you know, out of our comfort zone, definitely there. And Dorian, Parsnip Notes 3000, back from the States, first ever EGX, and we got to meet Dorian at the show, and he came along to... No, did he? He did. He came on to the meeting.
Yeah, he came to the meet of the night time because it went further than that, didn't it, Robin?
Of course. Sorry. See that? See, I've already put it out of my brain. Goodness me. Yeah, Dorian slept with me, literally.
Under the sheets, everything.
I'll tell you what, Robin, the question on everybody's lips is that beard real?
It was rough. I still have the rash. So he was in my bed, and Chris MJW was at the foot of my bed. So yeah, I was surrounded by beautiful men. It was an experience. And my son, God help him, he's scarred for life, was in the bed next to us watching it all. I have an open door policy when it comes to these things. If you need somewhere to sleep, I'm your man. So that was good. Saturday then was again a good show, but then we had the podcast that we recorded, and yeah, that was kind of all over the place. Two, you know, computers, two mics, two different programs. Mark had a wee bit of work to get that podcast put together. The hotel didn't really want us to record where we recorded. They didn't definitely want us to eat where we were sitting. But they served us anyway, and we munched our way through the podcast, and it was very, very casual for her.
When that happened, all I could see in my head was Greg getting angrier and more frustrated because he is eating on the podcast, and you're all eating, and Ginny had a full pizza. And
that was nice.
I was laughing my head off.
Just a bunch of lad. And I was sitting there, like three or four beers sitting in front of me while I was doing that podcast, and by the time I got to the end of the podcast, they were gone.
And that's before you even went to the party afterwards.
Oh, goodness. So then we went to that MLGX party, the Midlife Gamer party where they raised money. And I was jolly on Friday night. I was just stupid. on Saturday evening. Now, what usually happens at the MLGX party is Tahara Mike's wife. Usually arranges to pick Stu and Mike up about midnight. And this year that didn't happen because Mike was staying closer now whatever happened.
Wasn't Mike driving?
Mike was driving. Yeah. That's right. So they stayed to the bitter end. So I stayed to the bitter end. And I was sitting there partying away, drinking flipping banana sambucas with strangers or new friends at the bar, going, yeah, banana. We want banana sambucas? Okay. Yeah, I'm on for that. And they just kept coming, and it was crazy. I bought a Switch at the MLGX party.
You've already got a Switch.
I know, but I bought another one.
Why? Charity.
Because I was a bit drunk. At the auction, I won a Switch.
Right.
Yes.
Yay.
I sold it again before I left the party. So Dan, our little kickboxing man.
Oh, yeah.
He bought it off me. So I go, how the hell am I going? I want to get this home and to explain this to Judith that I've just spent 300 on a Switch. And I also bought some weird board game and a whole pile of weird PlayStation Japanese games.
Yes. Oh, wow. Nice.
They're over here. Someone's a collector's edition of some sort of Akiba's Beat, the collector's edition, some sort of funky
classic series
dancing thing. So look, it was great fun, great crack. Empar Matt was at the MLGX party and introduced himself. God help him, this is the first time he'd ever been like to any one of these again, or one of these types of events, and bless him, he was great fun. Solemn from Ireland. Sorry, I'm going to go back a wee bit here. On Friday, we were sitting in the bar outside, and we were having a few drinks. You were there,
And
Colin, again, there was about three or four drinks on that afternoon on the Friday in the bar outside the main hall, and Colin was just slowly slipping away. I'm from Ireland. I should be able to drink this. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was going to come along to the meal, but he ended up going back to his hotel and going to bed. But God bless him.
And Kyle turned up there, and he was in the bar most of the afternoon before he even went in the show. He got his EGX wristband and then went straight into the bar and didn't go into the show till 4 o'clock. He was quite merry, and he got the hiccups.
Was it 5 pints, none the richer?
Yeah.
I got to say, that Wetherspoons was an app.
Yeah.
We're sitting at the table and you order with the app and it brings it to your table, even though there's all these big queues. That's kind of cool technology. I like that. That was kind of groovy. Yeah.
I met Darren Hilton for the first time. He's a great guy. He was sat opposite me at the Las Iguanas as well. So, yeah, got on really well with him. He's a really, really funny guy. So.
He's the bastard responsible for suggesting Anna Sambucas.
Yeah.
So,
he's a good one. He was putting him away as well. Funny. Yeah.
So, on the way back home to the hotel on MGLX, I was slaughtered, right? Darren was slaughtered. And Mike was guiding us from the Irish Centre, that rough neck of the woods, up to Broad Street. through these little, I just sort of remember these back alleys and bits and was going on, and Darren was up there and going, "You fucking destroyed me." Because every time we were buying each other a drink, it was, right, double down. So it wasn't just one drink, it was two drinks every time. Anyway, we're staggering up the road home. I find a hot dog vendor and get this hot dog, and I'm walking into the hotel with this hot dog. He said, "What do you want on it?" "Everything." So it's sauce and mustard, and it's all down my front. And I vaguely remember getting to the hotel room and dropping the hot dog, and Joshua, my son, was picking bits of hot dog up off the floor, and I'm going, "No, give me my hot dog, son. I want the hot dog."
He was just stood there shaking his head, disappointed in his dad.
Sorry, Joshua. I didn't. I'm embarrassed for you, but I only do it this once a year. I was chatting to Mike through the week, and I'm saying, like, I've only been drunk twice this year, and both times you've been there, once in Amsterdam. Here. So it's all your fault, Mike Chin. Anyway, so look, the Friday night, the turnout was fantastic. Thank you, everybody that came along on the Friday night for Burritos and Buddies. It was good, good fun. And next year is going to be a very, very special year. As many of the team are going to be at the show as possible. And we're going to make it a bit bigger. We're going to try ourselves to get a really good, like a function room, mm-hmm. like the Irish Centre. God, it might be the Irish Centre. God knows. and we're going to have a good night's crack. We may set up, there's lots of different ideas whizzing around at the moment, maybe even set up a little panel, record the podcast live in front of you guys. Might be a bit of a laugh. We're going to set up some screens, some proper video screens, have a few Xboxes or PlayStations or whatever it is, or Switches set up, maybe with a few projector screens, have some competitions, and we're going to raise some money for a good gaming charity or a good cancer charity or whatever it may be. We're going to make it bigger next year, and we want as many of you to come along. Even if you're not coming to the show, hopefully EGX, hopefully you as well, that just come along. If you're in the vicinity, come along to the Friday night do, and as the year progresses, we'll let you know more about that, and we'll keep you updated. And there's things that you'd like us to do, we'll take that in, because I think with 25, if we were to get 40 or 50 people, I think that would be flipping awesome, and I think we can.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, let's move on. I think that's enough EGX. Bye bye until next year. Let's talk about some games, Mark.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Okay, I'm going to drop this on you, Mark. Fired this in. Would you go through the games with gold and PlayStation and anything else that's there? Please.
So the October games, what you get free as part of your subscription for Xbox Games with Gold. On the Xbox One, we have Overcooked from the 1st to the 31st of October. That's the first game, not Overcooked 2, Overcooked 1, with local multiplayer, and I'm looking forward to playing that. I've always wanted to play it. And the second game, which is available from the 16th of October to the 15th of November, is Victor Vran. I don't know what that is. I think it's a bit of a Diablo-type thing, a bit like the Van Helsing-type game. So, might be interesting, might not be. So, on 360, which is also backwards compatible, Stuntman Ignition, which is a bloody old game. I remember playing that years ago on the 360.
I love that game.
Yeah, I think I
had that one.
Yeah, I think I got nearly 4,000 points in that. That's available 1st to the 15th of October. And a superb game from the 16th to the 31st, Hitman Blood Money, which is fantastic. I played that to death on the 360 back in the day. And these are all obviously backwards compatible, so you can play them on your Xbox One. On the PlayStations for October, on the PS4, one game I am really excited for, which I've nearly bought millions of times and never got around to it, Friday the 13th, the game. So I'm really excited about that, and I've just renewed my PS Plus finally.
It has a following.
Yeah. Well, the game's janky as fuck. It's got a lot of issues, but it's got a following, and it's got a lot of support, and it's just a fun game. The second PS4 game is Laser League.
Don't bother.
Yeah. I think that didn't that come to Xbox? The Bridge, which is also on PS3 and Vita, so that's cross-play. cross-buy. Rocket Birds 2 Evolution, which is cross-buy with Vita. 2064 Read Only Memories, which sounds like some Japanese reading shit. That's also cross-buy on Vita. And then on the PS3, there's Master Reboot, as well as that, the bridge, what I've already mentioned. And on PS Vita, is all them other three, what I've mentioned. Rocket Birds 2, 2064, Read Only Memories, and The Bridge.
Cool. Thank you.
Twitch Prime Games have not been announced as yet, so we'll do that next week.
Thank you very much. Love it.
Someone's got a soundboard.
Okay, look, you touched on it already, Rich. We mentioned the Batman. You've been playing the Batman.
I'm going to nip to the loo while you talk about Batman. Although I love Batman, it's a great game.
Batman Arkham Knight is the best superhero game I have ever played, ever. It's by far the best Arkham game in the series. It's everything you love about Asylum, everything you love about City, cranked up to 11. I know that's proper cliche. Arkham Knight makes you feel like Batman, and I know that's a bit of a meme, I think. This game makes you feel like Spider-Man, or this makes you feel like Batman.
The puddles in it are absolutely excellent.
Oh, mate, the raindrops going down his armor.
Okay, so the criticism of Batman Arkham Knight was, and the only real criticisms were the tanks, the tank sections.
The drones.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest with you,
I didn't really mind it.
I'd probably say, like, I'm not going to lie, there are really annoying bits of the Batmobile. The last Riddler race you've got to do is very annoying. Did you ever do the Riddler missions?
Some of them. So when you say you've completed Batman Arkham Knight, you've actually completed it 100%. Is that correct?
Yep.
Of all of the Riddler challenges and all of those bits and pieces?
Everything. The only thing I haven't done, which doesn't count towards the main game, is the after-game DLC stuff. So, like, the Harley Quinn pack and the Batgirl pack and stuff. But, yeah, the actual game, I have 100% every mission.
Have you done all the Riddlers shit?
Yeah, all the Riddlers.
Oh, my God, I couldn't do
that. All the trophies. I've got the real ending, because there's, like, two or three endings in the game.
Yeah.
So I got the real ending and stuff. I had to use a guide for some of them.
Yeah.
Just to find some of them, because... some of them were really tricky out to figure out, but to be honest with you, the way Arkham Knight presents it with the Riddler trophies, you don't just like find them in corners randomly. Well, you don't have to. You can find Riddler thugs in the streets, can't you? So every now and then a thug will spawn in the streets and he'll be like glowing green. So you can interrogate him and he'll give you the location of like five Riddler things in the area. So if you just find enough of them, you can fill your map up. A tip for anyone who's just starting out with Arkham Knight is that if you see a glowing green thug anywhere, just interrogate them. And then hopefully by the time you finish the game, you might have all the Riddler trophies on your map already.
That's good advice for life, Richard.
It is. Just interrogate anyone that's green.
Well, I enjoyed my time with it. And the tank
bit, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Although some of the tank bits were a bit of a pain in the ass, there was one really tough tank near towards the end. But
you got wave after wave of them coming at you. That was part of the story mode, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad.
Some of them was cool. There's one right at the beginning where you have to traverse up this building and then you ended up jumping across into this other building. I thought that was quite neat how they did that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the Panasar Studios bit. So you've got to hook across and then like go up the side. There's one of the last missions. I think it's an Arkham Knight mission, yeah, so it's one of the main story ones. You've got to go down like a massive like construction cylinder all the way down, and it's like three or four different levels, and you've got to basically reverse and hook onto with the Batmobile onto a thing.
Yeah.
And you've got to reverse all the way down and then like shoot a thing across from you, unlock the next bit, and then go down again with the Batmobile. Like I'll say before, like Robin, like, the Batmobile bits aren't too bad.
No.
Like 95% of the Batmobile stuff is really good.
Yeah.
There's a few little moments in it that make you feel like you literally are Batman in a tank.
Yeah.
because I don't know, like driving round. Once you get the hang of how the Batmobile works and being able to like launch yourself out of it to go places fast, and when you're chasing down like those riot things as part of the Intel Most Wanted missions, so there's a couple of like armored trucks that drive around the city, and you've got to take them out.
Yeah.
And you can like sideswipe cars. It turns into like a burnout game. So when you're chasing down these cars and all these riot cars are coming after you, you can like sideswipe them, and it does like a burnout takedown. So like the camera will spin round and it'll show that car flipping upside down.
Yeah.
There's parts in that game where you do detective mode and you've got to reconstruct crime scenes.
That's right.
And you go like reverse and like forward and backwards in time, and it's got like blue. It's like CSI. There's like these blue outline characters and stuff. And
reminds me of what the Division did with that as well. It was very similar.
Yeah, with the Echoes. Yeah.
And all the cutscenes take place in game. So like there'll be a, like every time you call Alfred on your little arm thing, you lift your arm up and like the screen comes up on your arm, and you can spin the camera around. And I was playing it on my TV at like near 4K. Yeah. Like I was playing it at like 1800p because it's not the best optimized game on PC.
Yeah, it had a few issues to start with, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like I mean, they ended up pulling it.
It is pretty much fixed now. So I was playing it like near 4K, like pushing the settings, and Batman's face is like the stubble. Mm. The detail of the rain on his armor. What I did like about it as well, because it's not actually that long ago I finished Arkham Asylum, and also not long ago since I finished Arkham City. And this one, from the very beginning, it lets you know that this is the last Batman game. Like, this is Batman's last mission.
Yeah.
Like, it's his final outing. He goes, like, this is the last time now, and the whole city is taken out. Every island. I didn't realize Gotham was three islands until this game. I don't think it. Yeah, I think they just did that just because it was like, how do we separate the game? There's a couple of little twists in it. The
clip we're looking at now, didn't that restaurant, didn't that explode or something went on with it? Wasn't that right?
That's Scarecrow.
Yeah, this is brilliant. This was also the E3 trailer thing, right? But this is the intro to the game.
Yeah, so like you're playing as one of the, like a cop now. What's cool as well is this diner is in the city, so you can go to it later on as Batman.
Yeah,
and there's like all police tape in it and stuff, and it's just it holds up so well as well. I know it's only 3 years old, but it's one of the best looking games I've ever played. It's fantastic. The art design, the lighting, everything, the cinematography, the way the cutscenes work, Batman's armor, like it gets damaged.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's the peak of Rocksteady and the Batman games.
Mm.
You know, at the stage.
I can't believe this is an Unreal Engine 3 game. This is a heavily modified Unreal Engine 3, which is what ran Mass Effect and BioShock. But they've obviously, you know, pushed it to its absolute breaking point for Arkham Knight.
So, I've got a quick question for you, Rich. First time you met Man-Bat, did you shit your pants?
Man-Bat.
You had to climb up that tower, didn't you?
Yes. Yes.
Right, yeah. It won't just be.
So, you just climb up and he pops out.
Yeah. Fucking shit the hell out.
I don't want to spoil it. It's not really a spoiler, but like the Joker stuff, that scared me the first time.
Yeah. Because he's dead, isn't he?
He's dead. So he just pops out, and then like, because I know from like some of the trailers and some of the gameplay, it shows Joker talking to you. So, you know, I'm not going to go into what it is, but when it happens, I was like, hold on, he's dead.
Yeah. It's good how it works, and it's like, it's all in your mind and mind games.
Who the Arkham Knight is, some people said like, oh, it was easy, like, oh, it was obvious and stuff. It's probably really obvious to people who are into the comics.
Yeah, I didn't know.
But if you're watching the story and you're paying attention, you can get little clues here and there. It's an amazing game. It really is. It's fantastic.
Good, and it's probably as cheap as chips everywhere now. So if you haven't played it, play it. Mark,
if you want it on PC, you can get it from CD Keys now, the premium one, which comes with all the DLC for like
£3.50. There you go.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to you. Mark, have you been at anything?
I've been playing Spider-Man.
Ooh, speedrun.
Yeah, not much through the week. We're coming back from EGX and everything, and work and everything. But yeah, this sort of like Friday, Saturday and today, been playing a lot of Spider-Man. Getting quite far into it now. I'm near the end of Chapter 2, Act 2. And now I'm doing a lot of the... I'm trying to find this. Where we go? The video. I'm doing a lot of the side missions, actually. This is one... there's not many games where I'll do all the side missions and try to get all the trophies. But yeah, I'm going for it. So I've done all the Taskmaster challenges. I've done all the zones where you have to, I know it sounds stupid, catch pigeons. you have to catch 12 pigeons for Harold. So I've caught all them. I've done all the rooftop challenges where the enemy bases are and everything. So yeah, getting there now.
There's been quite a few people on the Victory Achieved have completed it to 100%. So there must be a big tie and pull there.
Yeah.
You know, but like, which is mine? Yeah.
It is just a gorgeous game. The recreation of New York is superb. And now they've put in the non-real buildings in, like the Avengers Tower. The building with Alias Investigations where Jessica Jones is and stuff. They're all in there. You can take photographs of them all. And there's a challenge to do all the photographs and stuff. The skill trees are quite neat, unlocking different moves. There's a shitload of different suits you can unlock for Spider-Man. So there's the Avengers one, Infinity War one, with the legs what come out the back.
There's the metal one.
Yeah, the metallic one. There's the old classic ones. I've not unlocked it yet, but I've seen someone streaming it where they've got the cartoon one and you look like a cartoon. And I really want that, because that's my childhood app.
Yeah,
so I'm rocking the classic at the moment.
I must start to play it.
But yeah, the gameplay is good. The combat's really good. It's, like Greg says, it's very Batman-esque.
That's the next game on our list, I think.
Yeah. Really enjoy it.
Well, our list, it's next on mine's Red Dead, but our list is Spider-Man.
Yeah. So the swinging's good.
Mark, is it Game of the Year stuff for you? Is it rated? Will it be up there?
It'll be in there. It's definitely going to be in my top 10. So it'll be in the honourable mentions. I don't know if it'll be in my top 5 yet. Probably will be. It doesn't beat God of War. Nothing's beaten God of War yet. Red Dead's got a lot to do to beat God of War for my game of the year. Because at the moment,
beats God of War for me. Yeah. Just fucking as if it turns on.
Loading screen. Yep, game of the year.
What is it about Spider-Man that doesn't make it feel like a game of the year contender for you? Take God of War out. What is it about Spider-Man that's letting it down?
I've had a few frustrations with it. Some of the combat and the movement. When you're in a fight, you start panicking. There's a lot to do combat-wise and control-wise. So there's a lot of button presses, a lot of combinations for ziplining and everything. And with me fucking getting old a bit now, I sometimes panic a bit and get a bit confused. And instead of shooting towards an enemy and zapping and whatever, I'll end up pulling away and making myself even more exposed. So little things like that. There's a few.
I have to start playing on easy, you know. Yeah. I'm at that age now.
I'm playing on fucking easy.
Oh.
some of the challenges are too hard for me to get the full tokens, number of tokens. I'm always getting the sort of like second, the middle tier one. To get the full one, I don't know how the hell you do it. So I can't see you do it.
Does look great. Does look
fun. But yeah, it is a brilliant game. The story is good. The enemies are brilliant. So yeah,
I've heard on Pro it looks like legit.
Yeah,
amazing on the PS4 Pro.
Yeah, well, I've got a launch console, and apart from it sounding like an aircraft taking off, and like it did with God of War as well, it looks superb because the original PS4 has been retro patched to have HDR, and my monitor's got HDR, so it looks amazing in HDR, even without 4K visuals. So I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Okay. Well, with Forza for myself, Forza Horizon 3, I have been playing because I never played the Blizzard Mountain DLC, and I thought, goodness, if I don't play this now, I'm never going to play it. So literally, I've been rattling through that, and it is exceptionally good.
Yeah, Forza Horizon, that. Yeah.
Is such a good game. It still looks absolutely wonderful, and Of course, Forza Horizon 4 is out this week, over the next 2 days. For those, and you it normally would have been me right now, I would have had my money through down, my 70 or 80 quid. And I would have been that VIP, have it 5 days early thing. And there are people playing it right now that have done that. But the Game Pass thing is just, it's just too good. Because in 2 days, it's going to just appear for me. Mm. There it is. And if I need to buy DLC later on down the line, well, I won't mind doing that. But there's a 70 or 80 quid saving straight away there for me. So even, and I can't wait. I can't wait. So in Blizzard Mountain, you know, Australia in the snow, seemingly there are ski resorts in Australia. So I didn't know that. And it's cool the way they tackle the snow. Some of the deep snow stuff is so well recognized. You know, yes, there's the blizzardy stuff, but stuff that's maybe 3 or 4 inch deep, the way they handle the look of that, it's just fun.
And when you have got the blizzardy conditions where it's actually really teeming down with snow and you've got poor visibility, it just looks amazing. And the specific vehicles for Blizzard Mountain, the off-roaders, they're really good fun. I really enjoyed Blizzard Mountain. Not as much as Hot Wheels, but yeah, Blizzard Mountain is really good. I think all the Forza Horizon DLC is good.
I'm still meaning to proper get into Forza Horizon 3, and I picked up Blizzard Mountain the other day off Amazon for £4. They had the DLC code for like £4 on there, so yeah. I picked it up. I've just checked out to see if it's still available. It's not anymore. I think they must have run out. But
right.
So yeah, I've got it installed, ready to go. Blizzard Mountain ready.
It's good fun. You'll enjoy it. And again, I'm just getting excited now for Forza Horizon 4. This week I can slice away some time for it. Hardly Dan in the chat says it looks fantastic on his PC. So there you go. Wow, on his PC. Brilliant, you know.
Giant Bomb have got a nice review up for it. It's like it's kind of a review stroke quick look. It's about 40 minutes long. I think it came up this week. So that's good for, so it goes into like what the skill trees are for and all that sort of business. That might be worth a watch.
Yeah.
I hear in some of the first DLCs is going to be James Bond.
Yeah.
James Bond car.
Well, they're releasing a DLC pack once a month, every month for the first 7 months, apparently. What we were saying on that Inside Xbox. So, it's going to be good.
So I can't wait for that.
Maybe they'll put Runcorn in there. It's got some Runcorn.
It's funny, I mean, quite a lot of people talking about, I hear a lot of the Americans as well talking about, it's England. But the demo that was released on Xbox there, I don't know if it was on PC. But you know, there's the Forth River Bridge in it, so it's that's up in Edinburgh. So the demo was Scotland, and there were those old stone wall buildings.
I think Edinburgh's the main city in it.
Yeah, so it's not England at all. Yeah, but
and there's a lot of Lake District, like Ambleside and stuff. So I'm looking forward to how they're going to integrate the clubs now, because in the past on Forza Horizon games, you set up a club in the game and then people join that club, and then it all contributed to the club XP and everything. But I've heard this time that they're integrating it with the existing Xbox One clubs on the actual dashboard, and they're going to use that clubs as part of the clubs in the game. So that's going to be interesting. So we might have a massive influx of people joining.
Yeah.
It's clubs within clubs. I think the way they're doing it is like there's a big club, like 2,000, and then there's like a smaller club.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The clubs on the Xbox and that whole system is very, very underutilized, and it is a pretty good system. Yeah. But it's all there, but we just have to be almost shoehorned into using it. Okay, so that's Blizzard Mountain. Have you done anything else, Richard?
Assassin's Creed Origins, really.
I've been pounding
that. I got the itch. Like I was gonna get into Forza because I thought after Batman I can't play another third person game. Not after just 100% in Arkham Knight because it's just like fucking eye strain. But I picked up Origins again today, and I've not played it for like 7 months or something, and you get the itch straight away. Hit me like heroin. I was like, right, yeah, I am Bayek now, and I was assassinating dudes. What I've gotten into the habit of is when I'm taking guys out on like castle fort walls and stuff, is I'm chucking the bodies over the side so they don't get seen. So every time I assassinate somebody or kill someone, I pick them up, throw them over. At one point before, me missus was watching it, there's like seven guys all on a big pile down the other side of the castle on the floor.
It's like a Python sketch.
Yeah, it was. But I don't know how far through it I am. I think I've done five assassinations. And the bit I'm up to now in the main story is I'm at a place called Leotopolis.
Right.
Just like on the way to Memphis, so it's like a rundown old town, big town that's full of sand, and they're trying to like dig it all out and stuff and make it great again. That was a wrong. I didn't mean to say make it great again. What, like they wanted to make it grand. I think that's the word he used. So it used to be a grand city, and they wanted to make it that again. And there was like a big sandstorm, and I had to kill a load of guys in the sandstorm. But what I love about that game is I love just meandering through the world. Like I went to like there was like a bit, and there was like a little fort, and there was like three guys in there, so like I fucked them off. I think I assassinated one. I got my bird to like piss one of them off while I went in and killed them, and I just thought I'd look over the edge of this cliff, and I looked down, and there's like a little bandit camp with like two guys and a little boat and a little chest. And then you kill those two, and then like there's a little note on the boat, and the boat's all like pieces of shit. It's just like it's got all planks missing, and the little note says like, "I really hope this boat gets us far," and just little things like that. And I think I might have told this story when I was last on. I'm not sure, but what really I think sold Origins for me, apart from like the world's just amazing, is that there's a lot of stuff in that game that's not marked on the map, so like unmarked locations.
Yep.
And I was in near the start of the game. So, like, I think it was towards the west of Alexandria. So there's, like, a like nice area, jungly and stuff. And there was this, I don't know, like a hill, nondescript type of hill. And on it, there was a note. There was like, a little bed and a little note. And the note said, I think it was a note from, like, a father to his daughter. And it was like, "Listen, I've gone to live with the lions. I want to be one with the lions. That's where I belong. So I'm heading west, and I'm going to go to the hill over yonder and see the lions." Now, this isn't marked on the map. There was no, like, question mark or nothing. So I just thought, I want to see if they followed through on this. So I just, like, looked west, and there was a lion's den, right? So I went over to this lion's den and killed the lions. And then by the lion's den, there was a dead body, right. Skeleton, this fella. And I just thought that just that little attention to detail is just, I don't know, it's just fantastic. Really.
I went to the London one, so Origins is my next one then. I enjoyed my time in London. Yeah. Now, by the end of London, I was ready to be finished.
Yeah.
I think you get that way with some of them. You just spend so much time with them and you want to finish it. I mean, I wonder, Mark, was Origins, did it have an open ending, or did it end?
It does London, throw you back in the world to do all the extra stuff. You know, I can't really say anything about the ending without spoiling it, because it's... I can't really say. I definitely don't want to spoil it for Rich, but I love this game.
You will go back and finish this off, Richard, of course, won't you? Yeah, you will. That'll be something you'll do.
I want to finish this off before I get Odyssey, because it's just so good. But one of the things that I've noticed myself playing it, and something that's been fixed in Odyssey apparently, is the stealth. So, like, I've started getting into, like, trying to be stealthy. Yeah. So, like, you come across, like, a bandit camp and stuff, and you know, I want to be stealthy, but one of the complaints is the stealth doesn't really work in its favor, so you're not really incentivized to be stealthy. So there's no real incentive. You can still kill the guys normally, and you don't really lose anything. But I like being stealthy. I like, you know, sleeping till nighttime, watching the patterns, taking out a guy, hide him in a bush, take out another guy, you know. But apparently in Odyssey, they've made it so like you get XP boosts for being stealthy and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. So I want to finish Origins before Odyssey, because dropping £50 on a game that's the sequel to one I haven't finished yet.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Mm. Yeah, just especially because Origins isn't crap. It's a great game, so I want to finish it.
What's your favorite weapon?
I've got this like long scythe.
Right.
It's like a halberd.
Yeah.
So it's like a big stick with a massive blade on the thing, and I just love swiping dudes with that. Yeah. I had a fight with an underwater hippo fight.
Yeah.
So I'm like swiping me scythe and just like taking out this hippo underwater. But yeah, I like the that and the predator bow. So like, yeah, you make the arrow move.
Yeah, yeah. The predator bow for me was one of my favorites, and using that for taking down outposts quite stealthy from a distance, one shot headshots with them, just so satisfying. Yeah. And what I loved about the weapons in this game is, once you got a particular weapon you really, really like, you could keep leveling that up, so it wasn't obsolete. It'd never go obsolete.
I got a sword. I think it's like the golden hand or something. So I like this sword, so I've just been upgrading that along with me, so I don't have to get a new one because I like it. One thing I noticed with the predator bow as well, I don't know if you noticed this, Mark, but when you shoot it through fire, it catches fire with the arrow.
Yeah. Well,
so
later
you can
on,
use that as like a thing. Hit like oil.
Yeah. I don't know if you have unlocked it then yet. There is ability later on in the game where you can actually light them before you launch them. You pick up a flint, so you can because you can use it to your advantage, because there's red barrels, isn't there, with oil in. Yeah. And there's sometimes in some of the areas there's oil on the floor, because you can see by the colour. Yeah, they can be quite advantageous to your combat. So, yeah. It's really cool.
Oh, that's going
to
be sick. Oh, yeah. That's
going to be sick. Mark, you don't have anything else there?
No.
I don't think. There's two more things I want to mention. Super Lucky's Tale. Such a basic little game. I've went back into it again. God damn it, this is a great little platformer.
Yeah, I really enjoy this.
It has so many different play modes in it, the different perspectives. All of a sudden it's a constant runner. So you're a fixed perspective running to the right, and things are the ground is moving underneath you, and then there's like a 2D platformer bit that comes over, and it can be quite challenging, and it's well drawn, and it was as cheap as chips way back. It's in Game Pass now as well.
Yeah. I think I got it for like £5 ages ago in a sale. But yeah, it's Game Pass now as well. So.
Yeah, so I mean, it's in your Bandicoot. It's in that sort of realm of that style of game. It was Bandicoot is running straight away. By the way, got that. I bought that for one of the boys' birthdays. Anyway, so the Super Lucky's Tale, not to be laughed at. It's actually a good little platform game to throw a wee bit of time in. And has a decent sense of humour about itself.
Yeah.
The last thing. So our buddy I, Pete, was at the stand at EGX working on a stand for a game called Catastronauts. Now, we talked about this before, and Catastronauts has now been released on PC, on Xbox, and on PlayStation. And I got a copy of it and have been playing it. Now, Catastronauts... yesterday one of our boys had his 9th birthday party, and there was all the family were over last night, and I thought, oh, good opportunity.
Yeah.
So we sat down, some adults, 4 of us sat down, we fired up Catastronauts, and away we went. And it works really well, just like Overcooked. I'm sure you're going to throw something up maybe on the screen there.
The
play style is still the same. We've mentioned this on another podcast. It is like Overcooked and FTL. So you're in space, trying to repair things and shoot another spaceship and put fires out and all that. It's great fun. The difference between this and Overcooked... when you're in Overcooked with a crowd of people that haven't really played a lot of games before, you can sort of muddle your way through. You know, it's the first few levels, not too bad. You know, you can chop a few things up and you'll get through. You'll not completely fail. Catastronauts is tough. It's a hard game. We didn't have to try that hard, but there was some of the levels we had to play 2, 3, 4 times until we get into that. Everybody sort of knows what they're doing and you know where everything is. Great fun. Didn't play any of the levels that we played at EGX, Mark.
They didn't have a sun flare or anything.
No, they must be further on into it. Different and similar. The voice stuff is... when it's talking like that. But the gameplay is solid. But I would say it is definitely harder than Overcooked.
Yeah.
But it still has that fun part of it. Sadly, and again, we mentioned this before, the couch co-op. And, yeah, you know,
there's no online, is there?
So I did play it a wee bit when I first got it the other night by myself, and you take control of two characters and you're flipping between them.
All right.
It's not fun by yourself.
It'd be frustrating if we won character, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so... Yeah, if they had to get, if we can get that online stuff sorted, it's good. If you're the sort of people that do play with your mates on the couch, or you have parties and people over, Catastrophes, it's cheap. I think it was 12 quid.
Yeah.
So it's not an expensive game. Go grab it. Go grab it. Okay, and that's about it for all the games that we have been playing, I suppose. And at this stage, we would usually do a quiz, Mark, but Richard isn't here. So
I'm going to do the news first.
So I'm going to press the news button, Mark.
Are you doing it?
Oh, no. Let me press the news button.
Here is the fucking news.
Potato!
Now, there's a fun new thing we can do.
Yeah.
Works. That'll take some of the stress away here and then if we're wondering about getting the timing right. Anyway, that's kind of cool. I didn't think about that. Yeah, some news. We'll get to the bad news while Rich is coming here. So there's been a bit of bad news over the last week and a half in the gaming community. First of all, the Dead Rising dev up in Canada, Capcom Vancouver, has closed its doors with immediate effect. This studio is mostly responsible for the Dead Rising series. It's gone. And all their projects they've been working on have either been cancelled, dropped, or been moved to Capcom Japan. So that's if they were working on some new stuff. We don't know. And the sort of, from what I can glean, Mark, it's the Dead Rising series weren't making any money for them anymore. So they've just sucked it to Japan.
It's a shame, really, because the cracking games, 3 and 4.
So. Yeah. But 4's out a few years now, wasn't it?
It came out at Christmas time because there was a big thing with trailers with Christmas trees and everything, wasn't it? So I think it was December 2016 it came out.
I'm trying to think, was that not very close to a launch title for the Xbox One? No?
No, I think it was a year after. No, years after.
Okay, so that's bad enough. Even worse, and completely out of the blue, but I don't think anybody's really surprised. Telltale have closed. Telltale. So all those wonderful games, your Walking Dead games, they're gone. All bar 25 staff have been let go. And from what I hear, they've been dropped immediately without any severance pay or any notice. It was like, come to work on Wednesday and clear your desk. That's pretty much it, which is pretty poor. The remaining 25 staff are staying on to complete some commitments, Minecraft story mode probably being the one. And apparently they are looking for investors to restructure and restart the company, which is a bit bloody cheeky, considering how much money they seem to have made.
I thought these were quite successful as a company because everyone's played their game, so they must sell a few.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get to this as well, I think they spread themselves too thin. The Walking Dead Season 4, which Episode 1 is now out, I'm sorry to tell you guys, it's not going to be finished. Mm. We will not, unless something dramatic happens over the next few months, we are not going to find out what happens in the end of that story or how that was all done.
A bit of a funny story with that as well. Well, not funny, but funny is in amusing for us. At the restaurant Friday night when we're all at the tables, Daz across from me shows me his phone with the breaking news that Telltale's shutting down. So I showed it to Robin, and Robin shouts over to Stu because he's at the other end of the other table, and shows Stu it. And Stu's face was one of similar but not as shocking to that of Duke's. Yeah. And the first words that came out of his mouth was, "But I've bought the season pass." So, yeah. So it looks like Stu's lost out there, doesn't he? Because I wonder if he'll get a refund. Must do.
Okay. Oh, but I mean, if they have no money, if they're bankrupt, where does the money come
from?
So, you know, what went wrong? do you know what? They were a tight team. They were a small, tight team at the beginning, and they made The Walking Dead. And then all that money came flying at them.
Yeah.
And they were in the middle of so many different games. Okay, so Back to the Future.
I think they overdid it with a number of different franchises they were doing.
I think so. You had Walking Dead, and all of a sudden you had Game of Thrones, and then Batman, and the Among Us, Tales from the Borderlands, and then Minecraft Story Mode. And it just, it seemed like their development team, I remember reading about it, that, you know, it was 25 to 30 people went to 200.
Mm.
And that's where the money goes. We're just talking about Telltale going, gone, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Again, I honestly think it's mismanagement and growing too fast, too quick, and spreading themselves too thin. The thing they should have done after Walking Dead, maybe bring on one or two of these titles, but they should have improved that engine. But it got to the point where all of us were going, another one of these. I mean, the enthusiasm went.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, because the first one
was so special, wasn't it? Walking Dead. And then the second season was okay. And then they brought out Wolf Among Us, which is my favourite, and that is the biggest upset for me. Wolf Among Us Part 2.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. So yeah, so my favourites would be Walking Dead Season 1. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was really good, but Season 1
did very, very
slow. Yeah. I never played anything like that.
That really pulled at your heartstrings.
I played Game of Thrones, but no. I played Batman, but no. But I would say even more than Walking Dead, I would say that Tales from the Borderlands.
I've still played that. Yeah.
Is my favourite. Yeah. I love the humour in it. Definitely. And second place would be The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
I loved it. So disappointed that we're not getting more of that.
Yeah.
And The Walking Dead Season 1. I just thought they were great. But... some of the problems was, you know, a lot of people waited until they were in a batch of five to play them all.
Mm.
You know, sometimes it was a couple of weeks and sometimes it was several months and you'd went off the boil to come back to them again. So I think it's a shame. But I'm wondering, did you play any of these, Richard? I'm sure you did, yeah?
Walking Dead Season 1.
Mm.
Good. And I tried Back to the Future. That was one of their earlier ones.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, played that one. I don't know, I just, like you said, Robin, I think they just took on like bazillion projects and there wasn't enough time for innovation. The market went dry for that kind of game. And they didn't improve on their technology.
That should have been a priority rather than all these different franchises, shouldn't it?
I'm not comparing like Telltale's games to GTA 5, but... like Rockstar puts out a game like every 5 years. You don't have to put out 2-3 games every year to be successful.
You kind of think
with them taking on so many projects, they also then had to take on all the staff. And then if the projects start drying up, what the fuck are they going to do with all the staff? As we've seen, they all go.
I think you know, The Walking Dead. Yeah, 4 series of that same style. Mm. But you know, running at the same time was Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Batman, and Wolf Among Us were all pretty much running at the same time, near enough, you know, very, very little difference. And in my mind, it would have been better really, really focusing on those, improving the technology, and then, you know, once a year or once every other year coming out and really making a killing like they did in The Walking Dead. People want these. We were just all bored of them, you know. So, but I wonder, I mean, is this nice, this style of game dead? I mean, I know the other one that I've been playing that I really like about the young American girls and the...
Life is Strange.
But even it, the second series, or the one, the prequel to it, Before the Storm, hasn't grabbed me as much as.
Mm.
So I don't know if this stuff has died or going to die, but... Sad.
Hadley Dan's just put in the chat that by all accounts they were terrible to work for, had a crunch culture, a lot to answer for. It's a shame, really.
And again, these Baron Van Glore is saying the third party titles must have cost a fortune. You kind of think that did they go and buy those or did you?
But they'd have to license them, wouldn't they? He's on about the licenses, so
Yeah, I'm thinking back to EGX and that Blue Planet type program, the thing Beyond Blue, and BBC contacted them. Do you think that, you know, would some of these go hand in hand? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Would have came along and said, look, do us a Borderland.
One can support the other sort of thing, and one benefits you and the other. Yeah. But well, no, I think this will be definitely a money thing.
Have like 200 or 300.
Like the Game of Thrones license alone must have cost them a fortune.
Yeah. So
see what they should have done probably. I kind of am a businessman, I guess, but not like I'm not as successful as whatever. But what they probably should have done is maybe stuck it more to contract stuff. So like rather than employ like hundreds of people like Ubisoft.
Yeah, sub out different areas to
Yeah, so they hired freelance contractors as and when needed. You know, there was no salary, holiday pay, bonuses, that sort of business to look after. So, I know that side of it can go to the dark place as well, where, like, for example, Square Enix might hire 200 people for 3 years and then they're all contracting, so they're gone then. But, you know, something like that maybe would have been a bit better rather than having all the staff doing all the games and then when they're not getting any more work, all that staff just sat there.
I think we've all sort of seen this coming. You know, there was just too many of these, and we're going, another Batman game, and another one. Anyway, thankfully, 343 are looking for staff at the moment, so hopefully a lot of these people will get picked up, because real people's lives and mortgages and bills. Yeah. PlayStation. PlayStation, the autumn update has happened for your dashboard, should be happening if you haven't got it already. And there have been changes now to PlayStation Now. So the autumn update, which is rolled out, has new series of performance improvements for your PS4. And that includes faster loading, but mostly faster downloading times, because the PS4 was not the fastest of downloaders.
No, it throttled a lot of downloads, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some dashboard improvements and other bits and pieces. But I suppose the biggest part of the news is that the PlayStation Now service is changing. So PlayStation Now was a service that you, like Netflix, paid about 20 quid, and then about 20-odd quid a month, and you streamed your games Gaikai style over your console. And you had a really, really solid network. And, I don't think the pickup was very, very good on it. And generally, the guy, that stuff was PlayStation 2, some PlayStation 4, and I think there's PlayStation 3 in there as well.
PlayStation 3, yeah. At launch, there were no PlayStation 4. They've just started adding them, but not many titles at all.
Okay, so what has happened now is now you will be able to download instead of stream, which is very, very like the Xbox Game Pass offer. Yeah. And they've started up with a selection of PS2 and PS4 games. No PS3 games will be available to download at this time.
That'll be down to the architecture of the PS3, probably, the cell processor, I'd have thought, I guess.
Well, that's the problem.
But is the streaming option still there for them, yeah? You'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
I think for this to be a real system. It's really lovely to have. Okay, so you didn't have this, now you have it. That's a good thing. Okay? But to be a strong an offer, they need to make it cheaper, because the Xbox Game Pass is cheaper, and they need to get the PS3 backwards compatibly, because that's where like titles like Ni No Kuni, you know, lots of really, really good PS3 only games that were there, which would be really good that way for people. And I do play my back compat titles, don't play lots and lots of them, but I do play it, and it's a lovely, lovely thing to have. Would you pay more? Would you pay 20 quid a month for that?
No, I think Xbox has just got it spot on, sweet spot.
Yeah.
So looking online, it looks like it's an additional feature, so you can still stream as well as download.
Mm. So, but having it downloaded, great thing, because the technology really isn't there for streaming. Yeah.
Not yet.
Now, okay, so other news with Sony, they cancelled their PSX, which is like their own Sony little trade show, a mini E3, just with Sony stuff. That has been cancelled, and they came out to say, we don't really have anything to show. and we don't want to get your hopes up, which is
fair enough.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, XO is back, which was an Xbox only version of this, and it's going to be on the 10th of November in Mexico City. Phil Spencer announced this week and is very excited about it. And we kind of think that there might be some other nice new games, because it's the first time that this has been done now in 5 or 6 years, or some more studio announcements. So, yeah, that's coming up soon as well.
Is this the thing I've seen online where they're calling it XO18? Is that one? Yeah, okay. All I want them to announce is a fucking Elite version 2 controller, because my Elite broke ages ago. Although I have bought a Razer Tournament Edition, which is really good. It's got the paddles on the back, so. But it's wired. But yeah, I want the version 2 Elite.
So other sort of mixed stuff between, I suppose it's nothing to do with Microsoft, but they're involved, is crossplay. So that's raised its ugly head again.
Down to the public at last.
Yeah, it looks like it. Enough people have been complaining. Sony have sort of taken notice. They keep on saying, oh, well, people will play it on the place where they find the best experience. And we already do crossplay. That's been the pat answer. But now they've started an experiment with Fortnite, with crossplay with PC and Xbox.
Yeah, it's in a beta format, isn't it? I think, is it like the PUBG tester? Is it a separate complete download? Or
I don't know.
Oh, shit, sorry.
It's basically, the part of the reason why there was such an uproar over it is because it wasn't your PSN account they have to share, it's your Epic account. Because your Fortnite account is your Epic account, which is what shares across. And if you played with that Epic account on PlayStation, then that was tied to your PlayStation and stuck there. So it was like the other ones allow you to use the same Epic account everywhere. So that's basically what it is.
Yeah, well, bugger that. You know, I want to play Rocket League with buddies on PlayStation 4. I want to play PUBG when it eventually comes there as well. You know, you want to do that. Any of those third-party games that are on both. You know, let people decide what console they want.
Yeah, especially if it's something like that. It's like 90 million players or something ridiculous on Fortnite. It's like, you know.
Well, let's hope that this time next year it's not an issue. This is just, do you remember when it was all closed networks and we couldn't do anything, and that just opens it all up for everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there you go. That's that. That's about our news. We had a lovely email.
Are we doing the quiz after the emails?
Yeah, I think we'll do this right, email here. Because we mentioned him earlier on. And Solemn 67, my brother from another mother in the south of Ireland. To be sure, how's in Dublin, potato and all that shit. He did send one email and it went to the wrong email address. So we're going to mix these both together. So hi all, long time listener, first time emailer. I love listening to your podcast over the last year or two. I'm typing while listening to episode 488. Do you have plans for episode 500? Yes, we'll be doing an episode 500 at the moment.
We haven't really talked about it yet, but I'm tempted to steal a bit of the veteran games idea and have people call in. I think that'd be a good idea. So we've never done that. We've not really done that, have we? So anyway, we need to talk to Uncle Greggles, who's a boss.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've been asked these questions before, but I'm going to ask you anyway. One, name one game you would love to play again for the first time. Richard on the spot.
Oblivion.
Mark on the spot.
Oh, fuck me. Bioshock.
Fallout 3. What do you love about gaming? Richard?
Having many lives. You know, I'm a soldier. I'm a superhero.
You know, getting lost. Mark?
For me, it's always been about an escape. Whether it was I was at school and a nerd and a bit of an outcast, or when I was working, you could come home, you could go into your game and be someone else and forget about all your worries and just have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, what Mark said, but as I get older and I get to meet you guys in the flesh, it's more and more about friends. So, Third question is, what do you hate about gaming or the gaming community?
Too many women.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? No, I hate the... I hate the rush to release and the crunch and, you know, getting things out day one, broadcast games type stuff. I hate that. You know?
I hate the toxicity of some people. The console war like shit. No. The console war shit. People online who, if they think they're better than you, call you a fag. And we had the exact same thing on Sea of Thieves on the beta, didn't we, Robin? I crashed it into a little island because I didn't know what I was doing, and I got called a lot of names. It's stuff like that I don't like about the gaming community.
Yeah, keyboard jockeys. Yeah. People, you know, if you wouldn't say it to someone's face,
no,
don't say it. I suppose. So I absolutely again right. And the other thing I really really hate about gaming is you, Colin. So apart from that, so let's see at EGX. Okay, so the second part of his email or second email is please let me know I've got the email. I'm sure I sent the email.
I'll let him know we got it. Yeah.
Okay, so he's just back from EGX and was a blast as usual. EGX is not the reason for going, but it's the community of like-minded gamers that draws me back every year for the last 4 or 5 years. Yes, I'm old and can't remember. Yep, you are, Colin. It's always great to meet up with mature gamers and some not so mature. Yes, I'm included in that spectrum. It reminds me of Christmas Day and excitement building while you're waiting for the man with the big red coat to come down the chimney and bugger you. No, not bugger you. Sorry. That's the type of atmosphere to meet fellow gamers gives to me every year. That's the type of atmosphere to meeting fellow gamers gives to me every year. So I would like to say thank you to all the people I have met over the last few years. The crack was always 90. Just listen to your annual EGX episode, although hearing you all chomping down on the food made me hungry. It was great. We were hungry. It's great to be part of such an awesome community. It makes my working days go quicker listening to all of these podcasts. It's an even bigger treat to actually meet these people behind the mics. It's a fantastic hobby to be part of, and I'm truly grateful for being allowed to be part of the podcast gaming community. I've spent years hiding my gaming hobby from most people, but now I know I'm part of the wonderful community. It's truly empowering. Thank you to all of you. Regards, Colm. Colm, that's lovely. Thank you very much. Yes, you know what? It's about friends. It's about community. And if you are a listener and you've just, you know, you just listen away, please, Mark, tell them what our email address is so that they can send an email to us.
It is podcast@ocpod.com. Not the one Colm sent the first one to. I have no clue what he sent that to. There'll be some post on somewhere thinking, what the bloody hell is this? Yeah, podcast@ocpod.com.
So Colm at Solm, S-O-L-M 67, thank you very, very much for your emails. And it was lovely to see you
again. Yes, it was lovely meeting him again. I met him a couple of years ago at MLGX, but I think he was that drunk he forgot. And then when we sort of like went up to him on that Friday, he turned around, I shook his hand, and he went, "Who are you again?" And I went, "I'm the guy who plays on Easy with you." And he went, "Oh, yeah, he's back, Alex." So, yeah.
He's a good fella. Yeah, okay.
He's a good laugh.
I think we'll do Nicole's quiz. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, okay, here we go.
Ooh, who said that?
So who said it best?
This is Richie's first time.
Richie's first time. Okay, so this is the quiz. Here, this piece of paper. So Nicole couldn't be arsed typing it into the computer. She wrote it out in a piece of paper and photographed it and then WhatsApped it to me. So I have to work my way through this. So let's do it in Nicole's accent, will we?
This is gonna be fun.
All right.
Hang on.
He just taps my hide.
Oh dear, let's not go there. Okay, so who said it best? The idea of who said it best is the game quotes, and they mostly come from video games, but some can come from other game-related sources, including but not limited to movies, porn novels, and fictional stories. After the quote, and then the choices are read. On the count of three, give your answer and show notes A, B, or C. Okay, so here we go. Who said it best? Southie. Southie. She might mean something different from that, but there you go. Somebody called Southie is saying, but never mind that. How can I help the famous Ray? And Ray says, leprechauns? So, who said that best? Was it Rayman from Rayman?
You've just said Ray.
Was it Ray from Star Wars?
Right.
Was it Ray from Fortnite?
Right.
Or was it Rain from Blood Rain? Which one was it?
That's four options.
It is. Four options. I'm just reading it, what is down there. So... Right. Ray from Rayman, Ray from Star Wars, Ray from Fortnite, or Ray from Blood Rain? So I need your answers after three. Three.
That was a tick move,
Robin.
Stick move.
Hold on. My keyboard's not working.
Oh, no.
Oh, what the hell?
Oh, my goodness me.
Fucking Windows 98!
What the fuck? Okay, I'll just... Can I just...
Oh, boy.
Hold on, wait. Wait there.
Yeah!
Okay. Keys, what's this shit? So turn that off.
Three. Wait. Come on now, let's go. Come on.
Yes!
Answer now. Yes, okay, so we've got a D from Rich and we've got an A from Mark.
I was tempted to put C, but... Because I know Nicole's trying to screw me over so I don't catch... Came up. And she knows I hate Fortnite, but I think it's Rayman.
And the correct answer is Fortnite. C.
Fuck! Fucking! I knew it! Just fucking evil.
I didn't want to believe that leprechauns were in Fortnite.
You met with a terrible fate, haven't you? You met with a terrible fate, haven't you? That's A, the salesman from The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask. B, the salesman from The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening. Or C, the salesman from The Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Ages. Of course you're going to know this. You met with a terrible fate, haven't you? Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, Link's Awakening, or Oracle, A, B, or C. And so I need your answers after three. Three.
That was a tick move, Robin. It was a tick move.
Oh, bollocks.
Okay, and we've got answers here. Mark is saying B, which is from Link's Awakening.
Not got a clue. I just went straight down the middle.
And Rich says the salesman from Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask. And one of you is correct.
Ooh, is Rich got his first point? Or am I one step nearer
him?
Has
his first point. Yay!
He does.
He does. He's off the ground.
See, this is what happens when you've played Majora's Mask zero times.
Okay, last question. Justice ain't gonna dispense itself. Justice ain't gonna dispense itself. Did that come from A, the stranger from Oddworld, B, from Kusarg from Red Steel 2, or C, McCree from Overwatch? Justice ain't going to dispense itself. Let's think about those and get your answers ready. So I need your answers after three. Three.
That was a tick move, Robin. It was a tick move.
And the answers are coming in. Oh, and they're both the same. They're both the same. And they both said McCree from Overwatch. Sorry, lads.
Oh.
You are both right.
Yay! I know she plays that. So.
Ah, dear, dear, dear.
For a second, I thought it was going to be Crackdown. I thought, is that something the guy from Crackdown said? Justice ain't going to dispense itself, agent.
My first initial thought was Nick Valentine from Fallout 4.
It's just my it's the deep voice.
Right, I've updated the scores.
Very good. So you're updating the scores and the doors there. Let me see. So Mark has got Muller 1. Okay, so Kim is still in the lead with 13. Mark is at 10. Greg is 7. I have 6. Gary the Clunt has 2. Rich has 2 already up.
Yeah, he's Gary. Already caught Gary and Philip already on his first go.
Well, there you go. So Kim is showing the way to go. She really is. She's doing it. Okay, so what are we going on to now? Bam, bam, bam. Oh. Okay, new releases. Rich, can you scroll down to your new releases and what is coming out?
And, yeah, sure thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to press that button, Mark.
I've already got it.
Sure thing.
Twice. Okay, I've stopped.
Okay, so we've got some brand new games coming out this week. We've got Forza Horizon 4 on Xbox One and PC, personal computer. But Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise on PS4. We've got Mega Man 11, the 52nd Mega Man game on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. We've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and Super Mario Party on Switch.
Okay, so there's two biggies there. You got four. Thank you. You got Forza Horizon 4, of course. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is there as well. I'm sorry to say it, but I think Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to tail off. I think they'll need to take that break. As far as sales numbers concerned, it might be a brilliant game, but I think just like Telltale, people have had enough.
They've been working on this for 3 years. Isn't that enough? What do you want, Robin?
Not enough. Not enough.
I think. I don't know. What? No, there's nothing else coming out. Forza Horizon 4, no one's going to buy it because everyone's going to get Game Pass. And no one's going to buy Mega Man 11. So it's the only people that are going to buy Super Mario Party is all the Switch owners who don't have a console to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah, but
Amaranth is going to buy Fist of the North Star.
2 million copies week one. You watch Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Mm. And don't forget, I'm the guy that predicted the Switch. No, I reckon Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to sell buckets. You watch.
All right, I'll take you up on that. Yeah. So, how many copies do we need to sell before you're successful?
10.
Okay, no,
I reckon. Let's say I reckon 1.5 million sales first week, easy.
I'm writing this down, Rich. I am writing it down. 1.5 million sales first week. Okay. Yep. Right. Okay. Victory achieved. Okay. So we haven't done victory achieved for week or two. We're at the end of a quarter. That means we have to draw someone at random from all the completions between whenever that was, the last quarter.
It's random me. Is random going to be me? No. No. Fuck off.
And what Victory Achieved is when you finish a game, we encourage you to finish your games. When you get to the credits at the end, you send a tweet off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag Victory Achieved, and you can win, like this person here. They'll win $20 or 15 quid gift card on PSN, XBL, Steam, or Nintendo. And winner, Phil Hits Chicken Dinners. The winner drawn at random from 150 completions in the last quarter was Lewis.
I'm trying to beat you to it.
Denik TQ for finishing Firewatch on the 25th of July. Now, Lewis, Denik, yeah, congratulations. You finished lots and lots of games.
Yeah, he's been quite busy on the old game finishing front, hasn't he?
So well done, congratulations. We will be in touch over the next day or two to see which way you want your dosh. As we haven't been doing this for a while, Rich, if you can take through the people that have finished the games over the last few weeks, actually.
Yeah, sure.
There. So
I'm going to assume the first one's a mistake because it's on there twice. Unless you can finish the game twice and get two.
Where?
No.
Oh, yeah. Where? I've actually got a funny Irishman joke. Paddy and Mick were in a field, and Paddy says to Mick, look at that plane crash. And Mick looks up to the sky and goes, where? Caliburn M finished Rise of the Tomb Raider. Marty and C 1984, which is 1 year older than me, finished Forza Horizon 2. I've seen that. I think it's like less than a tenner now on CDQ, so it might be worth getting it. I don't know. Dinoc TQ finished The Bunker. Gunslinger X 1983. He's a year older than Marty. He finished Shadow of the Colossus. I'm going to assume that's the PS4 remake. And if not, I feel very sorry for your eyes. John Mao, Gangs of London. Never heard of it. Don't give a shit. Dave O'Mac finished Spider-Man. I'm also going to assume that's the PS4 one and not the PS1 one. Gunslinger X 1983 also finished Battlefield 1. Caliburn M finished Dark Souls 2. I don't think he started and finished that this week. I think he might have picked up a previous save. Dave O'Mac finished Shadow of the... Going one up on Caliburn M, finishing in Shadow of the Tomb Raider, no less. Natra79, also Spider-Man, big game this week. Dinoc TQ also finished Longshot Madden 18. I'm guessing that's the story mode.
Greg said it was Amras, shit.
Amras finished Spider-Man, finally. Real Rich Webster. That guy sounds sexy. He finished Batman Arkham Knight, 100%, no less. You should get two. Stifled Puff Inc. finished Call of Duty World War II. Pretty decent. The guy from, I want to say the Pacific. I think the guy from the Pacific might be in that. Anyway, Dave O'Mac finished Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. That's the future one. RCGC, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Dave O'Mac, Battlefield 1. Mr. Miyagi, 1984. Finished The Walking Dead Season 1, finally.
You'll never finish.
Marty C and 1980. What is it with 1984? Super Lucky's Tale. I heard it was crap, but Robin likes it.
No, it's good.
It's probably crap. Ginger Balls finished Street Fighter V. I don't know how you finish that. I'm guessing story mode, but what is story mode?
So Pete, he did that at EGX as well. So he says,
Ginger Balls.
Nobody finished any real games this week apart from Rich
Webster.
Rich Webster finished Arkham Knight. That's the best one.
I'm quite worried about Dave O'Matic because he was like on a first person shooter tint there because he's went through Battlefield 1, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, and also he has there was another war game there as well he had.
He's not in America, is he? He hasn't got access to assault rifles, or has he? I'm getting a bit worried now.
So, look, well done, everybody. Congratulations. Well done, Dinoc TQ. We'll be in touch with you for your prize money. And if you gain, it rolls back to zero, and the next one will be called around Christmas time, the end of the year. And... well done. Well done. Congratulations. And for that, you get this.
I'm President Xbox.
You remember that?
That's an old one. Yeah.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
Excellent. Okay, let's wrap this up. Let's go home because work in the morning. So if you want to join in with the chat, one of you can pull up the shatters, the people that were in there, you want to be part of that conversation, we broadcast every single week on twitch.tv/OC Podcast, mixer.com, OC Podcast, YouTube, Overseas Connection Podcast. You okay, Richard? At 9 o'clock in the UK, 4 p.m. in the West Coast, and 6 p.m. in the East Coast. Please leave us a review on iTunes, and please leave us an email. There's clubs, there's other crap that we're all involved with, and Nicole is going to tell you how to send us an email on Facebook and stuff, so please press that button, Mark.
You like us, we like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
If Marks and Spencers did podcasts.
I didn't have to do a little sample, and you did it for me, Rich.
That's excellent. Very, very good. Okay, let's wrap this up. Let's shout out the people that we want to shout out, and let's go home.
Okay. Richard. In the chat tonight, we had Apple Bad Apple. I think that might be someone's kid. Am I remembering rightly? Is that someone's frog? I don't know.
At some stage in their life, yes.
Must be someone's. Baron Von Glower. Commander Root was in there. Hardly Dan. He's always in there, glued to our box. Positivity Bot, that's not a real person. RCGC, me, Rich Webster, also Bongo and Mark Annex, and OC Podcast. And Skinny Seahorse was in there as well, watching with bated breath for the new releases.
BBBBBBD Games? Who's that?
That was me. I'm now Rich Webster. I've changed.
Change your name.
I'm just Rich Webster.
Excellent. What a guy.
I don't need no gamer tag. What is this? PS triple.
Okay, so 1.5 million sales. Who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out Extra Life. That's what I want to do.
Oh, okay. Good. That's good. Good.
It's not even October yet. It's officially October in 2 hours and 28 minutes. That was fast maths for me.
1 hour, 28 minutes.
18 minutes. I'm really shit at maths. I've already started my Extra Life drive already. I started last week. I'm up to $100.
Wow.
Good lad.
Already. Now, for perspective, last year I did 75, so I'm already winning myself.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm doing Extra Life again, same as last year. I'm doing it for Batson Children's Hospital in Mississippi. So hopefully we get them. I've put my target at 250. If I go over that, I'll probably bump it up to, like, 350 or something like that. We'll see.
Well, you're going to donate 10p for every copy of Assassin's Creed Odyssey that's sold, so that's going to be pretty good.
That's not really a lot of money for me, that, mate. Have you not seen this room? Look, I've got a Yoshi teddy over there. That costs a fiver.
Excellent. Well, I'll be talking more about Extra Life next week, and I'll be getting us kicked off as well. And I think Greg too will be as well. Mark?
You can find me at Mark Annex on Twitter. And on all the gaming platforms, I'm just easily found as Mark Annex. I want to shout out everyone I met at EGX last week. It was an absolute blast. Particular shout out to Colm for his wonderful story when he bought his Switch. That was such a good laugh to listen to. So yeah, everyone in the chat tonight, and you guys, and for Rich for coming on, because he's not been on for ages, so it's great to see Rich again. I'll let you take us out, Robin.
Yeah, thank you very much, Richard, for coming on. Yes, thank you,
boss.
Great. Thank you very much.
I've been here since day one, and I've missed only about 400 episodes. Fantastic.
Mark, thank you for spinning the dicks. I am very pleased of how this is going tonight, and I feel very confident by pressing buttons.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that when my little... There's one more cable I need to make it work exactly the way it needs to work for me to host properly, and I think it already feels like it'll go
spear. So I can take a week off without feeling guilty now.
yeah. So I think we're getting there now. And if Greg ends up with one of these little mixing desks as well and the same setup, you've done all the hard work there. So thanks for that. Again, I also want to say thank you, everybody at EGX that I met last weekend. I apologize if I was rude to you. I apologize if I was drunk or too drunk or said something that was very, very silly. If I grabbed your bottom, it was done in a friendly way. Please. I had an absolute blast. I really, really did overdo it last weekend, and I've taken the week to recover. Sorry, Joshua. I really am. I'm embarrassing Dad, but I'm sorry. I'm sort of sorry, but I'm sort of not sorry, because hashtag deal with it. Because I don't do it at home. I don't beat anybody about. I don't go to excess. And this is my weekend for excess. And I don't want to change that.
You need to let your head down one time a year, don't you?
So thank you very much to the Midlife Gamer guys. Thank you for once again having us along to your after party. We had a blast that night as well. I keep on having flashbacks. The Sambucas was a flashback. I just had a flashback now of singing New York, New York, I think it was Stu Fowler, very, very loudly and badly, but we sounded better than Frank Sinatra. So all of those things, EGX is fantastic. Find out the dates. They'll be out very, very soon. Pencil it into your diary. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be Friday night, Friday show, Saturday night, Saturday show, Sunday recovering, everybody walking around like zombies. It's going to be a hell of a year next year. So if you can come along, come along. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, guys, for being in the chat. Thank you, everybody, there. And Greg will be back, I'm sure, at some stage or another from next week from his holidays. And we will see you next week. So have a safe, wonderful gaming week. And goodbye. At Bongo the CNI. Goodbye now. See ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
My wallpaper is fucking Master Chief. My new phone. Oh, look, it's a mirror.
See you same time next week.